When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spiced Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. A bold cranberry and winter spice flavor fusion, Sprite Winter Spiced Cranberry is a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season. And only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On the field, there's a touchdown. However, pass interference, number 14 on the offense.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We all underachieved. Right?
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer John Elway. Still to come, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Full Week 16 recap. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show. We just had John Elway on. We're going to have Kurt Warner on in 20 minutes. Third hour, who's the Hall of Famer? I don't know. Maybe it's Mike Del Tufo in the Audio Executive Hall of Fame. I mean, you know what I mean? That's you, right, Mikey?
I mean, I would be in it.
Yeah, you would.
You know what I was thinking there was about?
Very humble.
I was looking stuff up.
What are you thinking about, TJ?
You would think there's more. I'm saying this to you, Rich. I know you know, but to the general public, maybe Chris and Mike, you know there's only 26 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame? That's nuts.
Over 300,
I just assumed,
in there.
I don't know why I was looking at the other day. You would assume there were more.
I don't know. There should be less, in my opinion.
Let's not go into it.
26.
Let's not get it.
Take 20 off.
I believe that's about to get.
And then I tried to name them, and I only missed 9.
Well, so. I think
I could hit a lot of those.
Breeze is going to make it 27 in about a month, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then there's good. Brady's coming. Big Ben's coming.
Yep. Eli.
Eli could be another one real soon. Phillip Rivers delayed it.
You got to kick that down the road.
Yeah, what? That's sad for him.
Man, he's going tonight against Brock Purdy, baby.
He should be able to.
That's a big
game. What an interesting game.
I know. I can't wait. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun this evening. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, I'm looking down here. I'm assuming it's not him, but you got to give it a shot. Caleb in Chicago. Is this you, Caleb?
Oh, the Bears.
Oh, boy.
Bears.
Definitely not Williams.
The Bears. Oh, bear down, boys. I'm sorry I'm not really Caleb, but I am Caleb from Chicago.
Okay.
I love you all. Hello.
What up, man?
My God, you're high on life right now, aren't you, Caleb?
It's a
should be.
Yeah?
You're telling me. I'm just having the best week of my life. Seeing DJ Moore getting a game ball in a cheese grater hat.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Cry.
Yep.
Rich, we have our coach. My quarterback can make any throw.
Mm-hmm.
My seventh round running back is better than yours. And we are going to the playoffs.
I hear
you,
buddy.
You
know what?
Get excited.
You should be excited. Every Bears fan I know is out of their gourds.
Yeah.
That, you know, because the bottom line, and thanks for the call, Caleb. I appreciate you giving us the jocularity of the moment. Every Bears fan that I know was just like, I hope we got the coach right. Yep. I hope he's the one who can actually unlock Caleb. And then they heard between the hiring of Ben Johnson and the starting of the training camp season, all the holy heck nonsense that went down last year where Caleb wasn't told what to watch and film. And I kept saying, the bottom line is this. Caleb Williams, was sacked an insane amount of times and then had everything that happened to him behind the scenes last year. Never once did he wear that on his sleeve or in his voice. Or in his press conferences. Never once. And I'm like, that's a toughness that I think Ben Johnson will appreciate. And he's brought it all out of him. He's absolutely brought it all out of him. And the crazy thing is right now is the Bears, we're already seeing who's in and who's out in the playoffs right now. Okay. The Bears are in. The Seahawks are in. And the Niners are in. And the Rams are in. Three of those teams, Seahawks, Bears, and Niners, weren't in it last year.
Oof.
and the Eagles are in, who were in it last year. If the Packers make it, they were in it last year. The Rams were in it last year. If the Panthers make it, they weren't in it last year. A lot of turnover.
Yeah.
And if the Packers make it, the Lions don't. So the one seed in the NFC from last year would be out, and the Bears, let's just say, let's call them, they would replace them. And in the AFC, the one seed is already out in the Chiefs. That's already gone. And look who could possibly replace them, because the Patriots are one of them. And another one are the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Now, the Bears are in the mix for the one seed and in the playoffs because, in part, their quarterback has gotten a head coach in his first year connected with the quarterback in such a way that they're perfect for each other. A coach who has infused confidence in the quarterback and has gotten him to play the best football of his life right away in the first year of them being together. And the Bears are in the mix for the one seed and their division. Also, in part, they lead the league in takeaways with 31. Do you know who's second in the league in takeaways and number one in the AFC in takeaways? Are the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're 28 now. And Trevor Lawrence is playing the best ball of his life. And so going into Denver on Sunday with the Broncos having won 11 games in a row. And the Jaguars not having won a game against a team with 12 or more wins entering week 16 or later in the season ever. Jaguars have never beaten a team like that. They've never done it in their history. So with that as the setup, yesterday's game was viewed for the Jaguars nationally as a measuring stick. Liam Cohen and the Jaguars took that measuring stick and broke it off in the Broncos' orifice where the sun does not shine. That is a fact. That is a fact. They showed up salty. They showed up focused. They showed up with no fear and beat the Broncos in a way that the Broncos have not been beaten. Obviously, you could say that about a team that had won 11 in a row. And it also lost the two times this year by not having trailed a single second of the game in which they lost. They lost at the final gun. But every single thing that the Broncos have done right, the Jaguars face down and beat them in. Case in point, entering week 16, Denver had the number one red zone defense in the National Football League. Jacksonville went 4 for 5 in the red zone. Entering week 16, the Broncos had the number one third down defense in the National Football League. Jacksonville went 8 for 15 on third down. Come on. 53% third down conversions against a team that only allowed 31.9% coming into the game. The Broncos allowed a season high 34 points. Jacksonville hit that high water mark in Denver, where Denver entered the fourth quarter trailing for the fifth time this year. The previous four times, they won them all. They came back and won them all. This time around, nope, they're picking off Bo Nix. They're telling Bo Nix, not today, not in your house. Not today. Wow. That was something else. And Trevor Lawrence is playing the best ball of his career.
Yeah, he is.
Fourth straight game with two or more offensive touchdowns and no giveaways. That's the longest streak of his career. Since the week 8 bye, after the London game I called and the Rams beat the brakes off of them and the Jaguars were committing so many penalties before that game and then they did it in that game that, again, Liam Cohen on his Wednesdays, his game-breaking Wednesday moments that he has with his team, his presentations that he does to the team on Wednesday. He would show video of the game breaker on the other team saying, we can't let this guy beat us. He would put up a Jaguar logo saying, we're beating ourselves. We're the game breakers here. These are the ones that were breaking the game. You are on yourself. That's the team that emerged out of London into their bye. Since that day, they've only lost once, and it was blowing a 19-point win in Houston, and they haven't lost since that day. They didn't let that break them either. They're stout. They're strong-willed. Since that week 8 bye, Lawrence has 22 offensive touchdowns. Career-high 26 passing touchdowns. He ran another one in yesterday. Getting first downs with his legs. This is the guy from Clemson that we saw.
So we've been waiting for.
You know who else is? Travis Etienne Jr.
Yep.
13 scrimmage touchdowns this year. That's a career high. Jacoby Myers, since the trade, they gave him a 3-year deal that the Raiders wouldn't, and look what he's doing. He's balling out. Parker Washington has now emerged. This is all without Brian Thomas Jr. and the second overall pick, who had the best game of his career in London and then blew his knee out. Travis Hunter's not even part of this.
Right. Nope.
Crazy. 28 takeaways now. It's their ninth game in which they've had multiple takeaways in the game. They're tied for the most in that department with Chicago. Trevor Lawrence after the game. He's balling.
The team's coming together. I feel like we have a lot of confidence, but we don't take our preparation for granted. You can't just show up and win games in this league. You got to prepare the right way, and you got to have that edge and that mindset come Sunday. And I think that's something our team does a really good job of, is playing with that chip on your shoulder and that edge and attacking people and getting after them. And I think that's something that's been huge for us. Can't be understated. So we have to continue to do that. You know, it's not, you're not just going to show up on Sunday and win games, no matter who you're playing, and especially against a good team in Denver. So proud of the guys, and we came ready to go.
Two-way weapon, running, throwing. Just a two-way weapon, sort of like what he's putting in his hair, shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah, he needs both with that. I literally thought you were going to be like, make a Josh Allen comparison or something like that. And
I know.
I like your style, kid. I like your
style. I like his style, clearly. I mean, you know, Chris and I, we're always follically focused.
Great.
And I mean, what I would do for his hair.
I mean, I want his hair.
Killing it.
Forget you guys.
2-1. Jaguars 2-1. Threats on both sides of the ball. And also, man, I wanted to see Cam Little try one from like 80 right? in the Rocky Mountain air. I thought it was going to happen yesterday. Dude, they're killing it. They don't even need to try. They're not settling for anything. Not even these. Liam Cohen's not even settling for the blowing up of the narrative of nobody believes in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like this is a win that can change the narrative for your group?
We don't care. You know, we really don't care about the narrative. You know, it's, I'm sorry to say that, but it's only helping us. So I want the narrative to keep coming.
He wants to keep playing the disrespect card. Well, too bad, Liam. You're playing too damn good.
Hell, I am.
Too damn well.
Hell, I am.
Too bad, man.
Just a small market Please team, right?
Well, small market. You're referring to this soundbite from Sean Payton prior to the game.
As you look at him and you watch the tape, it you know, it's a smaller market, but you see a real good team.
Okay, so that clearly filtered back to the small market, in Duval County. Because after the game, listen just how smoothly Liam Cohen threw this one out there. Just listen to the smoothness of it. Hit.
Great team effort. Just thankful that, you know, a small market team like us can come into a place like Mile High and get it done.
Without even breaking a smile.
Locked.
Liam Cohen, you have all the respect in the world. You can't keep playing that card anymore. And by the way, that confidence, that talking with his chest, we saw it, you know, kind of spill out against Robert Saleh earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It's all working, though, right now. It all seems to be reined in and then spat out at the opponent in the proper way, in a healthy way, in a successful way. And that's just instilled in the quarterback right now. His play is off the charts. And guess what? Jacksonville now will be sitting back and watching the Monday Night Football game. If the Colts lose to the Niners, the Jaguars are in. So are the Chargers. So are the Bills. And if not, then they can do it themselves by visiting Indianapolis next week and sweeping them. and then taking a big, huge step towards clinching the division, which they can't do unless the day before on NFL Network in a game that I call, the Chargers beat the Texans. The Jaguars, you know, have split with Houston, and Tennessee is their last game at home. So we'll see what's up. And if New England loses once and the Chargers beat Denver in the last game of the year, if Jacksonville wins their last two, New England loses once, and then Denver loses their last game of the year to the Chargers, I'm just assuming they're not going to lose to the Chiefs on Christmas night, and the Jaguars went out, they're the one seed. I can't believe it. I didn't see that coming when I said goodbye to them in London. I'm like, that's a team that's got too many mistakes, too many holes, too many this, too many that. And that was with Travis Hunter having the game of his career to date. Congrats, man. What they've done. Obviously, there's more to go, but you got to feel great about it in Duval. Or JMC in NYC wants to join us. Line 4, Mike. JMC, you there?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me. Want to say hi to everybody, TJ, Chris, and, of course, Del Tufo.
What up, mate?
It's funny you mentioned about the Jaguars because crazy thing is, a couple of years ago, I had a dream that the Jaguars went to the Super Bowl and won.
Hmm. Do you know who they played? Who did they play? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I don't want to. Maybe it could be the 49ers. I don't know. Ooh. I mean, it was a while ago, but I know it was a high-scoring game, and they went to the 50s.
Okay.
And they shocked the world.
Chris, he's giving you food for thought right
now. I'm writing all of this down. Yeah, of Jacksonville 12-1 to win the Super Bowl right now.
Do you have a history of your dreams coming true in reality after you dream them?
To a degree, yeah.
Okay.
Like there's like part of it that just comes from portion. Sorry, I'm a little nervous right now.
Don't worry, buddy. You're good.
Yeah. There's times where that a certain scenario, and I just remember like, oh, I remember this area and this time, and
okay.
It's kind of crazy, but an alternate version of it happens sometimes.
Okay.
But sometimes it does come true. So, well, I don't know. Don't quote me on this. I mean, I just
too late.
Thought because
too late.
The way that the Jaguars are playing are amazing.
It is.
I'm shocked that they won yesterday.
JMC and NYC right here. Yeah. He had a dream.
I like it.
JMC Jr.
12-1 is nice.
Has a dream.
We shall see. The Rich Eisen Show is brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbar, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound. Kurt Warner is joining us next. 844-204-RICH is also the number to dial right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. This season, make your home feel alive with Sonos speakers. From cinematic sound that pulls you into every holiday movie, to game day audio that puts you right in the middle of the action, Sonos makes it effortless to fill your home with incredible ambiance. Stream everything you love, music, movies, or your favorite sports podcast, all in one place. Sonos' holiday sale is on now through December 28th, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Okay, since we're going to be off Wednesday, Joining us now on this Monday show in his usual weekly spot, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Warner.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kurt,
what's
I'm just
up,
gonna, dude, week 16, right? We were talking about it when we were getting ready for Sunday, and then we saw the Steelers and the Lions. What are you seeing out of the Steelers? Because it doesn't feel I mentioned in hour one, Kurt, remember that game you and I called in Indianapolis when Trubisky wasn't doing it? And Gardner Minshew was for the Colts, right? You remember that day? And they basically handed Mason Rudolph a mop with like 5 minutes to go. And then Rudolph took the team over. They did make the playoffs. They got one and done by Buffalo. But it struck me, Kurt, like as if this is a different feeling with Rodgers in the way that they've been playing the last 3 weeks. Am I off? What are you seeing? Kurt?
No, you're not off. I haven't had a chance to really dive into the tape from yesterday quite yet, but I think you're seeing a more confident team. I think you're seeing a team that's making some more big plays, which has really been the difference. Early in the year offensively, maybe outside of that Jets game, you know, to kind of start the season, they didn't make any big plays, you know, and so it was really methodical, and they you know, and usually when you don't have a great offense, you don't have anything you can hang your hat on, and you have to be methodical, at some point in time, you're going to make a mistake and you're not going to score points. And that was kind of really the MO of this team until that Baltimore game a few weeks ago, and they hit a number of big plays down the field. And then last Monday night, it was still more methodical, but they hit some big plays to DK for a touchdown, and then MVS caught a longer play for a touchdown. And so they're starting to add that into the mix. And that to me has really been what the difference is these past few weeks of building some more confidence, is that they're not just going to be this dink and dunk team and 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Yesterday they got some huge runs, you know, maybe not as many pass plays, but they got a couple of huge runs from Jalen Warren. And that to me is the difference maker with a good offense in the National Football League, is the ability to get explosive plays. They were, you know, very average offensively when they didn't get them. Now that they've been getting them, it's an uptick in who they are offensively, you know, feeds into some of the things that they do defensively. And now they're playing much better football than they have all year long.
And again, I don't want to dive into games that you really haven't seen the film on. So which games have you already seen, maybe? What have you looked at? What have you checked out for QB coach?
Yeah, like so I watched the Jacksonville and Denver game. You know, which was obviously a big game, and you know, Trevor Lawrence just continues to play good football. I mean, talk about a team that pushes the ball down the field. I mean, I showed it a little yesterday on Game Day Morning, but this isn't a dink and dunk team by any means. This is not a team that's just going to throw the ball at the line of scrimmage. They are going to threaten you down the field. You know, Brian Thomas, who was struggling early in the year, has kind of come into his own. Jacoby Myers, which I think was an unbelievable pickup for them. You know, the trade with Las Vegas has paid huge dividends. Travis Etienne has got a spring back in his step where he did early in his career and then, you know, kind of lagged for a while. And, man, he's back doing some things. I mean, they are playing really good football, and Trevor just seems to be locked in terms of what they're asking him to do and getting to the right guy and playing on schedule. And in all those plays that we've talked about numerous times with Trevor, where you go into games and there's five or six plays that you just kind of shake your head and you can't figure out, you know, how that happened or how he missed that or why he made that decision. He's not making those right now. And they went into Denver and really just beat down this really good Broncos defense. They had no answer. It's fun to watch them right now. And the more I watch them, the more I think, man, this is a team that could contend in the AFC because they're playing really good on defense. They good run defense. They don't give up a lot of big plays. And then they got a lot of playmakers on offense.
So let's take these two together. Because they've got first year head coaches that have instilled a confidence within them, and we're seeing dividends. You know, I might be oversimplifying what's going on with Caleb and Ben Johnson and Trevor and Liam Cohen. Let's take them one at a time. What throws are you seeing Trevor Lawrence make where you're like, yeah, that's the one that he's been missing. That's the one that's been an issue. Yeah. What are you seeing? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Trevor is that you could never put your finger on it because, you know, you would watch him play and he would make a specific throw, you know, the week before. And then he comes back the next week and he just flat out misses it. Or, you know, he would run a play and make good decisions on that play. And then he comes into a game and all of a sudden he just makes a terrible decision. And you're like, you know, you've made this decision numerous times really well. And now you come in. And so those are the things that left you scratching your head, because it wasn't just, oh, this one throw he can't make. He's shown the ability to do everything. It's just there was an inconsistency there that would just kind of drive you crazy. And I don't know what it was. I mean, you remember when we talked to him over in London, and he was talking about how nobody had ever really talked to him about tying his feet to the throws. And I was dumbfounded by it. I'm like, right. You serious? Nobody's talked to you about your drop connecting to the throw that you're making? And so you're on time and on schedule. And he's like, no, my drops have always kind of been the same. And you know, and I just kind of do it and go play. And he said this year, you know, they're focusing more on that. So maybe that's a little bit of the detail, like getting your feet set and getting them lined up and, you know, having a purpose behind every drop that you take. So it connects and your body is, you know, is ready to make those. So I don't know. I mean, I look forward to having a conversation with him and seeing how that progressed from the time that we talked to him in London. But I think part of it too is getting comfortable with an offense. We always ask the question, how long does it take a quarterback to get 100% comfortable in a new system with what, you know, the coach is asking him to do? And that was another thing that he mentioned, you know, a lot of things in the run game where I got to check to this and that and little things that I have to see. And so he was still trying to find his groove with that. And these last 3 or 4 weeks, he seems to be in that groove, know exactly what he's looking at, and then being able to be lined up to make those big throws over and over again.
So what about Caleb? What are we seeing out of him? He just looks like a totally different guy. I mean, the ball just flies out of his hand, man. And it doesn't matter what platform he's on, off platform, on the run. And he's so terrific escaping. It's a different kid than last year, Kurt. Speaking of, and we saw him in London. That was the best game of his career, but totally different, it feels like. Even on that day when he was throwing touchdowns, like it was going out of style.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, he still got so much room to grow in terms of
like
efficiency and consistency with seeing and playing the game. But I do agree with you. I do believe there's a confidence level with Caleb. And I think part of it falls to the fact that Ben is not asking him to do everything. He's not asking him to carry the team. I felt like a year ago as a rookie, so much was on Caleb's plate to – you know, to have to win games throwing the football. And they're not doing that this year. They're not asking him to do that. They're not putting him in drop back mode over and over and over again and say, you got to make this throw. If we're going to win, you got to make this throw. They're not doing that. And they're asking him to make some throws. They're asking him to make the critical throws in moments, you know, the fourth quarter when, you know, the all out blitz by the Packers and he buys a little bit of time and makes a throw. There were two or three other times in the game where they brought the same pressure and he didn't have an answer and just whipped it out of bounds. And I got frustrated. I'm like, got to have a pressure plan. You got to have something to do. But then in the moment when he had to make a play, boom, buys time, makes a play. You know, the play action play. I mean, what a great design by Ben Johnson. You know, they've been in kind of that heavy set. They've been running the football the whole game. They were right there on the cusp of field goal range. And so, you know, the Packers are thinking, okay, you know, we got to attack the line of scrimmage. They're going to run the ball and we've got to stop them from getting into good field goal range with the wind and everything going on. And Ben comes back with this play action, which was really just a 2-man route, but it was really designed to go to DJ Moore over the top with an aggressive defense. The defense is aggressive. He gets 1-on-1. And those are the throws without a doubt that he's more confident in getting back and just letting the ball go and taking some of those deep chances and obviously a perfect throw to DJ Moore, a great catch to finish that game. And so he is playing more confidently. And I think the big reason is because they're not dropping back and asking him to throw it 35 times a game and make every play. They're asking him to make some situational plays throughout a game. And then, as you said, create, buy a little bit of time, do the special things that you do. And that's enough right now. We don't need you to carry this football team. And I believe that's taken a huge weight off of Caleb's shoulders and allowed him to play more free and more confident than he did last year.
Okay, so here we go now with two games to go for most. The playoff field is essentially set. I mean, the Lions would need a lot of help to make it. Yeah. Same thing with the Ravens, and the Colts have a kind of a chance here. It would be incredible to watch Phillip Rivers pull that off. So if we look at the current wild card teams in the AFC, you've got the Texans, the Bills, and the Chargers. We're seeing the Chargers on Saturday against the Texans. I can't wait to call that game with you on Saturday, man. I mean, 21 wins combined. We are so lucky to have that game on NFL Network to kick off the Saturday doubleheader that finishes up on Peacock. Then you've got in the NFC, you've got the 49ers who play tonight as the 6 seed and the Rams as the 5 seed. Wow. With the Packers sitting right there. Okay.
I mean,
and so, you know, put it all together. I want to ask you, Rams, 49ers, Packers, Bills, Chargers, Texans. You can put your marker on one team to make a run.
Yeah.
You still putting it on the Rams? You still putting it on the Rams?
I am still putting it on the Rams because I think they've got more ways to beat you than anybody else. But as you go through that, you tell me, you know, a wild card team that one of those division winners is going to want to play.
Nope.
I mean, tell me which one you want to play of all of those. Like, as you're sitting to see how this thing shakes out, it's like, do I want to play Justin Herbert and the Chargers? Do I want to play Josh Allen? Do I want to play that Texans defense? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, the 49ers and the Rams, you know, 49ers obviously have been banged up, but they're playing good football. They still have a chance to get the number one seed. If they went out and beat Seattle, unbelievable. You're not going to want to play Seattle. And then Green Bay, obviously, maybe the one team right now without Micah, that difference maker on defense. And then Jordan Love, you know, seeing what happens with him and concussion protocol and what happens at quarterback there. You know, they're a team right now, you know, still with a couple weeks left of maybe limping in a little bit. But still, I mean, that's not a team to me that you want to play because – you know what they're capable of any time out. I mean, they were the number one seed or number two seed, 2 weeks ago? So, man, that is a tough road for any of those division winners to pick who you want. But, yes, I will circle the Rams. I think they're the most complete team of all of those teams. But, yeah, I mean, I could see a number of those teams winning at least a couple games in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Chargers have won 4 in a row, and that's not even close to the longest win streak in the AFC, which now belongs to Houston. And the last 4 wins have been in games with Stroud back from his concussion. It's, by the way, I saw this stat because, again, I'm a lead pipe wielding professional, Kurt, who's ready for the Saturday game before Sunday NFL game day morning and Monday Rich Eisen show. 3 different shows, 3 different days. There is an I in Rich and Eisen, so let me say that. Listen, it's the first 4-game win streak of Stroud's career. He's never won 4 starts in a row. So he's playing well. That defense is playing well. Herbert started yesterday's game with 3 touchdown drives in a row. That's a rarity for the Chargers on offense. You know, it's hard to choose. And then you see the Bills. Have you watched the Bills film from yesterday? You did.
I did watch the Bills.
Okay, so walk me through. Cleveland's no joke. Obviously, I think I'm not telling any tales out of school that the defensive player of the year resides in Cleveland, Ohio. But what are you seeing out of the Bills and Josh Allen as they take on the Eagles? Yeah. What a fun game that's going to be in week 17, Kurt.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one, too. Actually, the Bills won that game yesterday running the football. But that's really been the strength of their team all year long. And so that, to me, is where they've got to hang their hat. And what a hard thing to say when you've got Josh Allen. But that's where they're at their best. They're not great in the passing game, whether that's just weapons on the outside. You know, I talk about it about every week on game day morning is that, you know, it always depends to me on what Josh Allen we're going to get. I believe the best version of Josh Allen, and I know a lot of people don't, is the one that plays on schedule, in the pocket, sees it, gets it out, doesn't get impatient in the pocket, doesn't get through his reads too fast and look to run, but plays the game. He's really good when he does that. When he gets away from that, and I thought he did yesterday a number of times, kind of getting through things too fast and missing some things in front of him, that's when it's feast or famine. And there are definitely times where it's feast, right? When Josh Allen does those things and puts on the cape, as we always say, and makes unbelievable plays. But I think there's just as many you know, negative plays that are created or plays that are missed when he does that as well. So it's finding that balance of saying, I am a pocket passer. I am a guy that plays on schedule. That's where I'm best. And then when something transpires and I have to put on the cape, that's when I need to do it and not, you know, get caught in, okay, I need to be Superman this entire game. And I need to try to make a play every time I drop back. That to me is not when they're at their best. And, you know, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride this year with Josh at times. You know, sometimes he plays in the pocket and it's awesome. You know, when he played against the Texans, man, he was running around. I mean, even yesterday, he took a 22-yard sack. He took one against the Texans as well. It was like 20-some yard sack. And it's just when it's like, just throw the ball away sometimes. Like, just let it go. But that's such a part of who he is running around, and then he ends up making a play. But it's being able to balance that out against good football teams where those plays don't hurt you. And so that, to me, is what I'm going to be watching down the stretch. Do they lean in more to the run game? Can Josh lean into more of playing on schedule? And then just, you know, just being Superman at a few distinct moments when they need him and help him get some wins in the playoffs.
Man, what else did you see before I let you go, man?
What else did I watch yesterday so far? I watched a lot of the young quarterbacks.
How about the Sunday nighter? Are you want to chime in on the Patriots with that win and the Ravens?
Oh, yeah. I think New England's a team that has learned how to win a lot of different ways. And it just seems like a vibrant type team. Like, it might not totally impress you in any one area at any point in time. They may not go out and beat you 25 points, but they're going to be solid across the board in every facet. And we saw the game last time is that, you know, defense came up big when they needed to. Drake May takes over, and Drake just continues to get better and methodically working the ball down the field, making the right decisions over and over again. I think him, Mike Vrabel, and Josh McDaniels, and the way they balance out their sides of the ball, the even keel nature of Mike Vrabel is what it's all about. There's no panic, right? They don't, you know, get down a couple scores and they don't panic, just like their coach never panics. And they just one step at a time get back into it. So they're going to be a tough out. I don't know if they're a great football team, but I think they're really solid in a lot of different ways. And you're going to have to beat them. Like, you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to outplay them across the board to beat that football team. Because if you don't, they're going to take advantage of it. So I like them. You know, obviously it was disappointing that, you know, with Lamar, that they get up in that game and then – obviously, he suffers an injury, and then they end up losing. And man, it's hard to believe that we're going to be in the playoffs, as we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, without Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar. It's crazy to think about in this day and age, with as good as those guys are.
Kurt, can't wait to call that game with you on Saturday. We are lucky. It's an 11-win Chargers team that's currently not in the playoffs. If the Colts lose tonight, they're in. Against the Houston Texans team that will not have clinched, regardless of what tonight's results are, going into that game with 10 wins, 7 of them in a row, once upon a time 0-3. Mm-hmm. Both quarterbacks are right now, knocking on wood, healthy going into that one, unlike, you know, every other game that precedes us this week, and then potentially the one after on Peacock with the Ravens and the Packers. You and I are lucky, and I'm lucky to be sitting in a booth with you, sir. I look forward to it, man.
I can't wait. Going to be a great one. I can't wait to talk to these two teams and get after it and see how it all shakes up, you know, for Sunday morning show.
And Merry Christmas to you and Brenda and the entire Warner family, sir. I look forward to seeing
you.
Thanks to
your whole crew and appreciate to everybody listening. And happy Hanukkah and all the good stuff. Enjoy the holidays.
Kurt Warner, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Always making us smarter. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research, talking about it, running on behalf of it for St. Jude. There's Hyundai Hope on Wheels as well. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together, with over 850 dealers nationwide. They've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. And Hyundai Hope isn't optional. It comes standard. All right. We haven't talked about the way the we haven't talked yet about the way the Lions-Steelers game ended. 100% offensive pass interference on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. And the minute that happened, I was wondering, the flags flew. I'm like, who's it on? Is it on the, if it's on the defense, then the Lions, doesn't matter the way that this play plays out, because it looked like Amon-Ra didn't make it to the end zone. This game's going to continue because a game cannot end on a defensive penalty. And then, you know, they don't blow the whistle on forward progress at all. No. And Amon-Ra flips it to Jared Goff, or somehow the ball got to Jared Goff.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Goff gets the ball and scores with no time left. And I'm like, oh, my God. We need to find out, one, who's the penalty on? And outside of that, how did Goff get the ball? Because if it's a fumble, as we know, it's different than a backwards pass, which we learned on Thursday night. I mean, it's been rule book week 16.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 minutes, the only person who could advance a fumble because of the holy roller rule is the only person who would advance it and recover it and advance it is the guy who fumbled it. And clearly, Amon-Ra didn't recover it and didn't advance it. It was the quarterback. And we see in the replay, Amon-Ra had the presence of mind and physical ability to get the ball and lateral it to Goff. So if this is a defensive penalty, then the play stands, and it's a touchdown, and the game doesn't need to be extended. It's over.
It's over.
And Carl Sheffers huddles up for what felt like an eternity and comes back, and his first words out of his mouth are, the ruling on the field is a touchdown, and the place goes nuts. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Yep.
But
see, we knew, the crowd didn't know. So,
well, I don't blame the crowd for hearing. Like, as soon as they hear the ruling, touchdown,
we think we won.
But, and then they show it off in the replay. It was 100%. He just shoved everyone out of the way.
Yeah.
He looked like Costanza trying to get out of the party with a fire.
With the fire.
Okay. It's, you know what I mean? Like, that's
Jalen Ramsey did a great job of extra selling that.
But I don't think he even needed to sell
it. He knew to, but he definitely flailed his arms to make it very apparent.
I don't have a problem with the way the game ended. I have a problem with Isaac Teslaw being called for offensive pass interference on what otherwise was a pick play. That one was...
It was definitely a pick.
Of course it was a pick play, but how many times is that... He didn't stand there and shove somebody out of the way like we saw Amon-Ra do. He was running his route. It's what it looked like to me, and I understand the route's purpose was to create the pick for the wide-open touchdown. But then again, too, you blame it on as well. I mean, listen, Dan Campbell's got broad shoulders. Why they don't just bring in Montgomery with one timeout remaining, too? Or just keep, because the clock was rolling, keep Gibbs there and hand it to him.
That's what I thought.
Because you had a timeout left.
Yeah,
you got
the ball.
One shot. The rest of the three shots can come from the one if you want to pass it. You have one shot. It's a fire drill. Run it. Instead, they throw it. It's offensive pass interference. You're 10 yards back. Then there was another penalty on a false start.
Yep.
Yada, yada, yada. You know, so the initial offensive pass, the two offensive pass interference penalties wiped out touchdowns in the final four snaps of the game, it seemed like, for the Lions. And now they're on the brink. Wild finish. Thought the refs nailed the end. But that OPI on Tesla, that one would stick in my craw if I'm a Lions fan there. And then to have Rodgers come into your building and be the one to put you on the brink, to punch the ticket for the Bears, is a particularly, who you 50-burgered in week 2, is a particularly bitter pill.
You know what's even... So
that's my opinion on all
of
that.
You see the Jeffrey Simmons
play? Yeah, I saw that too, where he clearly reported as eligible and it took a touchdown away.
One ref saw him, sent to the other ref, wiped his chest.
And gamblers are going nuts about it because I guess it was the difference between the over and the under or something like that? Okay. So, yes, I did see that.
Man.
You know. Hour two is in the books right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.